Aloha and welcome to Elevating Motherhood. I'm so glad you're here. I'm your host, Lori Beth Aldridge. I've taken my passion for conversation, perspective, and supporting moms and turned it into a podcast. My goal is to talk openly about motherhood, offer new ideas, and help moms find their confidence in this busy and sometimes overwhelming world we live in. We're going to dive deep, open up, and elevate motherhood. Thanks for being here with me. Let's get started. Okay, this is not going to be a usual Elevating Motherhood episode, but I think it's an important one. I get sent things on Instagram all the time. I'm not on Facebook, just got way too toxic for me, but I am on Instagram, and people will send me stories either because they want my take on things, or they want me to comment on it, or they think it would be something up my alley or something I would be interested in. And there were two things sent to me this week that overlapped a lot. And so I thought I would come on here onto the show and talk about these two things in just different perspective, because with Elevating Motherhood, my goal has always been to resource moms and not to point out what it is we're doing wrong or say what it is we're doing wrong, or but just gently encourage moms like, hey, are you going through this? Here's a resource for this. Hey, are you looking for some encouragement? Here's some encouragement over here. And that's worked really well for a lot of years. And how are we applying these resources, right? And also, how are we tackling these cultural messages that are causing a lot of problems for moms? And as a result, they're actually causing a lot of problems for our children as well. So I'm going to start off by talking about Ballerina Farms. Hannah of Ballerina Farms posted on Instagram about her time at the Mrs. World pageant. I believe it was 12 days after she gave birth to her 8th child. And just a full disclosure, I have followed Hannah and her Ballerina Farm account on Instagram for a while, thanks to my sister Whitney, because she would share these darling posts about Hannah, you know, dancing in her kitchen with her kids, her gaggle of kids on her farm. And I was like, oh, that is just so sweet. I love that so much. I'll give that a follow. We actually have Ballerina Farm meat in our freezer. It's delicious and wonderful. And no, this is not sponsored. It's just my sister has gifted it to us at Christmas time. The boxes show up. They're super beautiful. And the meat is genuinely good. And I also have a few of Hannah's Ballerina Farm kitchen gadgets, again, thanks to my sister. And I love them. They're practical. They're beautiful. And it's just lovely. And I'm so happy to be a supporter of a farm like that. Hannah is a gem. She is a great mom. She's a talented dancer. She takes really good care of herself and her children, her family, her farm, and I dare say her internet community, like followers. I think she has over 8 million followers. We are owed nothing as internet community, right? Obviously, we are owed nothing. So it is quite a gift when a mom of 8 decides to pour into us at all or share about her life at all. I know that there's so many different thoughts about that, right? Well, she's an influencer. At the end of the day, people are still people. And maybe it is my time working as a personal assistant and nanny to rock stars and things like that. But at the end of the day, people are still people. And I think it's really important we keep that in mind. And I think it's especially important we keep that in mind as moms. Moms are moms. They go through a lot of similar struggles and a lot of similar emotions and victories and moments of connection and moments of depth and moments of hurt. We are moms at the end of the day, and we don't need to put our lives on display. And yet there are people out there who are encouraging. And I think Hannah is one of those people. So it's been interesting for me, for those of you who maybe aren't online or don't know what it is I'm talking about. She basically posted these pictures of her at a pageant. She also does pageants, and she does a lot of the Mrs. pageants, right? Because she's married with 8 kids now. And she had won the Mrs. American pageant. Well, first of all, you need to know the internet was losing their minds over the title. They're like, why Mrs. and why American and not America? And I was like, y'all obviously don't follow the pageant stuff in the pageant world. I don't either, but I do know that there's all kinds of different ones. And so they're like, there's some people who just can't get over that detail. People hate that it was even a pageant at all. They're like, oh, this is the worst. Beauty pageants are the worst. And I'm like, well, She does them. Okay, who cares? She looks beautiful. She is beautiful. She takes care of herself. She's a great representation of womanhood and marriage and mom motherhood and all this stuff. And they're like, down with pageants, boo, all pageants. And I'm like, okay. I mean, the list of hangups is pretty long, guys. I had to like write them out just to, and this is the short list, right? So people, in my opinion, don't like seeing success when it looks different from how they define it. So Hannah is having success as a mom and in her postpartum period and as a pageant participant and as a business owner and as a wife, she is having lots of success and people don't like that. Internet strangers do not like it a lot of times when success looks different from how they would define it. There's a jealousy component for sure. I'm not saying everybody, but if someone's like, man, I wish I looked more like that or did more things like that or had that level of success or personal success or whatever it is, for some people, there's the jealousy aspect, which I know that seems really obvious, but I think it's really important to point this out. These emotions that we feel that we're not sure what to do with. So yes, it's one thing to say, oh, there's like some people are just jealous. Well, it's not everybody. That is not the only emotion that's coming to the table. Anger is not the only emotion that's coming to the table. She's also getting a lot of encouragement too. But it's just wild that the internet is like lit up and very, very concerned with Hannah these days. People are screaming that her postpartum is setting up unrealistic expectations. And while I am a person who's very much aware that bounce back culture exists, fitting into your pre-baby jeans and having that as a goal, realistic or unrealistic, it exists in our culture. It's something that many, many women are concerned about. I'm sure it's hard to remember now, but I'm sure that back in the day, I had thought about that too. I held on to certain pairs of jeans for a really long time after I had my first child, hoping that I would be able to fit into these amazing jeans again. It never happened. And then I just had way more babies right away. But there are some people who would not handle that well. I chose to figure out how to handle it well. And I'm not saying I did it perfectly at all, but I did it because I have daughters. And it was really important for me to set a healthy example and have realistic expectations and to work on my health without judgment, without commentary on weight, things like that. So I am actively fighting that, have for, gosh, over 10 years now, and worked on that within myself, knowing that there is a toxic and unrealistic postpartum bounce back culture that exists in America and other places as well. But they are literally saying her photos and her postpartum are setting up unrealistic expectations. Well, I disagree. Hannah is not a spokesperson for postpartum. That's not even what she's doing. She is actually sharing something that she prepared very hard for. She thought about, she was intentional about her pregnancy. She has been with all of them. It wasn't just for this pageant. If you followed her for any amount of time or knew anything about her, even just things that are shared with us on the internet, you would know that there is a certain level of intentionality and health and awareness there. And so it's not her posting pictures of herself and being like, this is what everybody should look like 12 days postpartum. She's not a spokesperson for that. Just because she's posting a picture of herself postpartum doesn't mean she's representing all postpartum stuff. There are also people on there who are like, yeah, Hannah, normalizing breastfeeding. You're, you know, really like, well, guess what, guys? Even if that on a positive note, she's not a spokesperson for breastfeeding either, because you're always going to have those people who come through and say, well, I didn't get to breastfeed. And seeing other people breastfeed makes me feel bad. Or it's a commentary on breastfeeding. It's a picture of her in a moment in her life. And we can just be okay with that. And if you can't be okay with that, which it seems to be a lot of people, because the internet is still fairly new and we're still working on emotional maturity without the internet. And here we are trying to be emotionally mature on the internet. So there are some images we can handle. There are some images we can't handle. But all of that has little to do with the photograph and more to do with how it is we're showing up on social media and what we're bringing to the table. So if some people are triggered by these photos of Hannah, I think that they need to not take a closer look at Hannah's life and scrutinize it, but take a look at their own life and reflect and pray about their own life if they are triggered. It's something that I try to keep in mind too. So Hannah is not representing every single pageant person out there. She is representing as Mrs. American, and I think that she did a really great job of representing that role. And she was so lovely with her answer in the original Mrs. American pageant about the most empowering thing she ever did was birth babies. I mean, yes, that's how I feel. If someone were to ask me that same question, I would give a very similar answer. But does that mean she represents all mothers or all empowerment movements of women? No. But she is representing herself, and she's representing herself very well. Oh gosh, there's more to the list, you guys. People are up in arms about how much help she has. Some people are screaming danger. I have read on multiple posts about how people are saying she's being dangerous. Her sharing her postpartum success is dangerous because it's setting up unrealistic expectations for other women. To say that other women who are succeeding by their own standards and who have put in the work and prepared for postpartum and know what to expect, to label them as dangerous is pretty extreme, in my opinion. I cannot imagine calling someone who's having a healthy postpartum dangerous because it sets up unrealistic expectations for others. I'll tell you, my 4 postpartum periods were not the same. And if I were to have recorded my last postpartum period, the 3 months after my son was born, as we were renovating our house and packing up and leaving Maui and leaving our life behind, there are people who could have labeled that dangerous because I should not have been lifting as much as I did. I should have been more present. I should have spent 40 days in bed. You know, there's all these different ideas about what postpartum is supposed to look like. But the reality was, it was time for us to leave. And we were waiting until the baby was born. And I did as much as I could. And I had help. And I didn't have enough help. And, but there are many people who could have looked at one of my postpartum times and said that was dangerous. But that's extreme, and I don't think that that's the case. And I would encourage women to really pump the brakes if you are starting to feel like someone's example of mothering, you feel like it's dangerous, I would really pause and take a look at that, because that is a word that should not be thrown around flippantly when it comes to mothering. There are real dangers, and then there are people who call homeschool dangerous, and this postpartum example of Hannah dangerous. So my encouragement to you would be that if ever you see someone describing motherhood decisions as dangerous, that we don't jump on that bandwagon right away, but we pause and really take a look at that and use our discernment to say, is danger the right word in this situation? Because I'll tell you, most of the time, it's definitely not the right word. Another gem of a comment was when someone said, I love your family posts, but this is a bit too weird for me. Certainly not family focused and way too self-centered. Oh my gosh, you guys, I'll tell you, as a person who puts their life out there as a way to encourage other moms, this one hits a little too close to home for me, because I get feedback from people who are like, I love it when you talk about motherhood, hate it when you talk about homeschool. I love it when you share about how it is you interact with your children. Also, yikes, I just don't think you should be sharing about your children. And so here we are as moms. we are told as creators to only share about ourselves, only share pictures of you. I mean, with, you know, valid reasons. I know what all the reasons are for people who don't share pictures of their children, for sure. I don't share my children's names. And so people, here we are trying to, or so here we are being tasked with only sharing about ourselves. Well, if we do that, we're self-centered. Okay. And if we share about our children, then we should not be sharing about them because privacy and all the reasons and all the things, or, you know, your kids might not want these stories shared. And then what? Then women are at home by themselves wondering if anyone else has been in a situation like they are in and are desperate to talk to other moms about this. And they want to have conversation and they want to hear examples and they want to hear stories. And most of us, most creators, don't exploit our children. And we don't put them front and center and make it all about them and share all their private information and share their personalities. And we don't share embarrassing stories about them. Most of the time we're saying, because the reality is we know that our children are going to grow up and they're going to listen to these stories. And we don't want them to feel embarrassed about different things. And yet here we are at home trying to potty train our kids. And well, what does that look like? So we are constantly, as mom creators and family encouragers and mom encouragers, walking this fine line with people shouting at us from both sides that we're not doing enough or we're doing too much. And we are just trying to share encouragement and show you that there's another way. And also make it feel like you're not alone. So it is this back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And we are always going to have people screaming at us, only share homeschool content, nothing else. Don't share any homeschool content because it makes those of us who don't homeschool feel bad. I can't control other people's feelings, but I can look at the work that I do, look at how it is I'm showing up, think about my family and my children first, and also encourage in a way that hopefully doesn't make anybody feel uncomfortable. And yet the peanut gallery guys that we are, and I'm not saying it's you. I'm just letting you know that there's a lot of people who jump in and are just, the feedback is unbelievable. I mean, my favorite, I'm actually going to do a whole podcast episode about this one. My favorite feedback ever was someone emailed me and said, I thought you were a good person. And I was like, oh, wow, what is this about? So I'll be sure to share that one here sometime soon, too. But just, we're darned if we do and darned if we don't most of the time. And I feel like this is one of those situations for Hannah, too. I couldn't get over that one. I love your family post, but I don't like this one because it's too self-centered. And basically, they're saying, I want you to cater to what it is I want to see from your family. So only share your family posts. Okay, well, And then a lot of the feminist arguments are center stage in all of this too. And some people are saying, you know, down with pageants. This is not what female empowerment looks like. And then there are other people saying, well, the feminists are just mad because it disproves the notion that if you have kids, your life will be over. And what does this do? So much discord, so much discord. And it's become such a strong part of our culture. There's such a stronghold in our culture over this division that I imagine if you stopped right now and thought about, okay, if there are two sides to this fence, which one you sit, you know, which side you're on, right? Well, what if that fence wasn't there? What if we could find a way to make that fence not be there so it doesn't have to be one way or the other, or you don't have to pick a side in this situation? And I think one of the ways to do that is to just let Hannah be Hannah and just let her share what it is she wants to share when she wants to share it without bringing our opinion to the table. How about we bring our encouragement to the table? Or how about we bring different perspective to the table that isn't shaming in nature? And how about we don't make Hannah the center stage of every topic out there, from breastfeeding to feminism to motherhood to pageants to America versus American? I mean, oh my gosh. I'm not sure there's even the need to point out to new moms that this is not normal, that Hannah's postpartum experience is not normal. Of course it's not. And I think that that's kind of missing in our culture too. We can trust other women to know that Hannah is in an exceptional season of her life. She is a pageant queen. She has 8 children. She has a successful farm. People adore her. She is in the public eye. This is not normal. Her, like other people's normal. It's uniquely, wonderfully, amazingly Hannah. And it's her success that is center stage. And that's okay. I don't think that we need to point out to new moms that that isn't normal. And that's not the norm for a lot of people. And yet, isn't that the case that it's other people's truths that they feel like they need to say that, right? Because we do live in this bounce back culture. Hannah's not a spokesperson for bounce back culture. She's not even pretending to be. She never says that this is what you should be striving for. This is the norm. She is not saying any of that stuff. But because bounce back culture exists, and it looks like she has succeeded in bouncing back, although she never says that, right? And why do we have to pick that apart? Why do we have to say, has she bounced back? Has she not? It appears she has. We should point that out. And then we should also point out that this isn't normal. I think it would be wonderful if we could just trust other people's discernment or make way for discernment, right? I wish discernment were more a part of our culture, bigger part than bounce back culture, where we just trusted other women to look at this scenario and say, wow, that's amazing. Good on her. And then move on. Why can't we be more encouraging? She's living her life. She's sharing a high with us that she doesn't have to. She's representing well. She's representing herself well, her role and her intention. She is not representing bounce back culture. She's not representing breastfeeding. She's not representing anything. She is representing herself, and she is doing it really well. And I think that it's okay if we don't turn every single post and nitpick it and turn it or that post or that person into a spokesperson for everything we see in a photograph or a video. She doesn't have to be the norm, and we don't have to be offended. As a person who creates and shares online and on this podcast, I can tell you that every element of our lives is scrutinized, and it is exhausting. It is exhausting. And you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about with this example. If I share my house in a story or anything like that, if I do one of my Misfits Markets unboxings, if someone catches a glimpse of my dirty dishes, I will get more messages about my dirty dishes in the sink than I will about the Misfits Market products that I'm unboxing, because everyone is scrutinizing every detail of your life. They are pressing pause on their Instagram and looking to see what it is you have in your house, how dirty your house is, how clean your house is. And most of the time, if someone sees a disorganized part of my house, they're like, oh, thank God you're a real person. We were afraid you weren't. So literally every single detail, I have that lamp too, or I have this, or I have that, or I don't have this, or oh, I like this, or what color is your wall? Or it's just, even if I'm not talking about a wall in a post, or even if I'm not talking about my dishes, people are like, oh, I love it when you show the messes. And then there are other people who are going to be like, oh, I don't even know how you can live in that filth. Every element of our lives is so scrutinized, and it is exhausting. But we feel called to share. We feel called to share. And that's hard when the scrutiny is there, and it can get exhausting. So we have to use our discernment when we're sharing. And for many of us, myself included, I only share when I feel called to share and about topics I feel called to share about. And this is actually one of them. Because as mothers, I think we can do better. Because our kids are watching, if nothing else. And we are setting the example for them. We are setting that scrutinizing example. We are looking into other people's lives and going, how does this compare to my life? Is that too dirty? Is that too clean? Is that realistic? Is that unrealistic? Oh, that's so fake. Oh, this is so real. Oh, this is this. Oh, she has a Stanley. Well, I don't have a Stanley. I wish I had a Stanley. You know, just... Oh, wow. So on that note, it brings me to story number two of the week that everyone's sharing with me. And that is actually two stories, but I'll focus on the one. A teacher saying that she teaches mostly fourth, fifth, and sixth graders, talking about how parents are letting phones raise their kids. And multiple people sent me this video. The other thing I was thinking about is the mom whose daughter was shamed for not having a Stanley and came back from Christmas break and was like super upset. Guys, this kid is in elementary school. And these other girls were shaming her and making her feel less than because she didn't have a Stanley. She had an off-brand water cup. So if we're thinking about Hannah and how grown people online are approaching her share, and now we're thinking about our children in school and this teacher saying that parents are letting phones raise their kids. Well, are we on our phones too much? Are we parenting our kids? Or are we wasting an hour to 3 hours to 4 hours of our life scrolling, watching other people live their lives and then commenting on them? We need to ask ourselves the hard questions, and we need to see who the parent is in our family dynamic. Is it phones? Is it teachers? Is it other people? Is it our children's peers? Which, if you know about the book, I've mentioned it on the podcast before, Hold On To Your Kids. It's a very important book about peer-oriented culture and the problems that it's causing. Throw in social media and we need to wake up, and we need to wake up fast. And this all starts not because some teacher in a public school said that phones are raising our kids. For me, as a homeschooler, it's a step back from that. Are you just sending your kids to school for childcare and to let them parent your kids, or to let their peers parent their your children? And that's a tough question we have to ask ourselves. What is the role of school? Many of us will naively say it's to educate our kids. But at this point, if we are spending 1 to 4 hours on our phones, and we give our kids phones at a crazy young age. She's saying these fourth graders, fifth graders, sixth graders have TikTok. They have TikTok accounts. They've got phones. They have access to TikTok. They should not have access to TikTok. Their innocence is gone. And it seems to me this teacher is saying she wants to help maintain their innocence, because what she's seeing is fourth graders twerking on the playground. She says that girls are mean and catty to each other, that they are bullying each other over not wearing Lululemon or not being able to afford Lululemon in elementary school, or they're not carrying the right kind of Stanley cups, which, you know, in the crunchy community now you can't even have those because they tested positive for lead on the bottom exterior paint. She says that they're body shaming each other, and that parents aren't monitoring their kids' internet use, and these fourth graders are sexualizing themselves. I have a fourth grader, and this really hits home for me. And she said we need to be taking phones away for the sake of children's innocence and telling parents you're not supposed to be their friends, you're supposed to be their parents, and you need to be monitoring what it is they're doing. Well, I have a couple of thoughts on that. One, I don't think this teacher represents every school. I don't think she represents every teacher, but she does represent herself, and she is telling the truth about what her experience is. And when you look at the story of Ballerina Farm and the bullying and body shaming that's going on, it's very similar. It's very, very similar. And so you have grown-ups setting the example, whether they're teachers or parents or people with or without kids of their own. These are the standards that we see online. And these kids are seeing these standards online and taking them offline and making them a part of childhood. And I think that is wrong. The teacher also points out that parents are not monitoring their kids' internet use. And I would go a step further, and I am going to include myself in this too, you guys, because social media addiction is a battle that many, many moms suffer with. But I don't think we're monitoring our kids' internet use, because we aren't monitoring our own internet use. We are not getting to the root cause of all of this. And we need to use self-awareness, and we need to start with ourselves and take a look at this. How much time are we spending on our phones? How much time are we spending on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Threads, Twitter, all this stuff? And are we doing it for our own good, or are we doing it for escapism? Are we doing it for dopamine hits? Is this an addiction? We can be good people and still have these things that we're working through, right? We can still be good parents and take a look and do an honest analysis of how we're showing up, including the basics of how much time we are on our phones. Because if we are looking at our screens and our phones more than we're looking into the eyes of our children, this is a problem. And it's a problem I have had in the past. It's a problem that I go through seasons of having. And it's hard to be, again, a creator and an encourager, and also encouraging people to get off of it too. I mean, it's just such a double-edged sword. And here we are. And children are growing, and they're growing at a really fast rate. They grow fast anyway, and now they are being forced to grow up so much faster because of the internet. And you hear people screaming from the top of the roofs, from the top of their lungs, take the phones away from the kids. Get them off of TikTok. Fourth graders do not need to be sexualizing themselves. They do not need to be bullying each other. It was bad when we were kids in public school, but now it's even worse. And we need to be aware of this. So number one, we should be aware of our own internet use. And are we monitoring ourselves? Number two, then, are we monitoring our kids? Number three, are we monitoring what it is our kids are learning? It's one of the reasons I homeschool. I don't want the government to raise my children. I do not want teachers to raise my children. I have met teachers who are amazing and lovely and awesome. I have many friends who are public school teachers, private teachers. Not every teacher is created the same. I do not want a teacher raising my kid. I don't want the government telling me what it is my child needs to learn and when and at what pace. So we homeschool, and my kids are thriving in the homeschool environment. And they don't live in a peer-oriented culture. They are getting parented. I don't allow them to be more influenced by their peers than they are by us as their parents and other healthy adults who set positive examples for them. This is another conundrum that's happening. And I think the teacher is trying to talk about this and say, these girls are mean and catty and bullying. It's not just the girls, it's the boys too. They're body shaming. And how much do we really know about what's going on in our kids' lives? And how much of our culture is just saying, like, you know, you pick up your kid from the carpool lane that we're told to complain about. We're told to complain about literally everything. And then we're disheartened when we ask our kid how their day went, and they're either not talking to us or they're complaining about everything. So we need to look at our culture and how it is we are fitting into it or not. Are we just going along with what our culture wants us to do, which is the lie of convenience and ease and just go along? Or do we want to stop, get off the hamster wheel, get out of the rat race, and actually have connections with our kids? We don't want our kid to be bullied. And I'll tell you, we also don't want our kid to be the bully. We don't want someone to be mean and catty to our kid. Would we be embarrassed if our kid were the one who was being mean and catty? I would hope so. I would hope we want to do something about that. But how do we know which one our kid is? It's like no one wants to say that their kid is the one who is mean and catty and doing the bullying. And yet this seems to be the norm that this teacher and many other teachers are describing. This is what we are seeing online, the bullying, the meanness, the cattiness. So who's being mean and catty and bullying? Who is it? Is it us? Are we doing that online? Are we inadvertently teaching our kids to do that online? Are we complaining too much? Are we going along? Are we seeking out ease and convenience over depth and meaning in our lives? Are we the ones going around giving Hannah Ballerina Farm a hard time? Are we the ones who aren't doing our own stuff, doing our own work? and figuring out what it is we need postpartum, or figure out our limitations with social media that we need to set for ourselves? Do we know who's raising our kids? Is it us? These are all questions that every single parent, myself included, needs to ask themselves. Am I smiling and laughing at strangers entertaining me on my phone more than I'm looking at my kids and smiling at them and laughing because they're bringing me joy in my everyday? We have some thinking to do as parents. We could let these two internet sensations fly by this week and just be like, oh, Hannah, whatever. Once upon a time, she's a pageant queen and she's not 12 days postpartum anymore. It'll just disappear sooner than later. This teacher talking about how we're letting phones raise our kids. Are we just going to be up in arms about that this week and then just let it sail off until the next sensationalized thing comes our way? Or are we going to stop this week and take a look at these two situations, figure out who we are in this situation, what kind of example we're setting for our kids, and how we can do better as moms? And I don't think us hearing that we could do better as moms is a put down. We are lifelong learners. We can strive constantly to do the best by our kids we can. And that takes us showing up every single day with endurance, with purpose, with our family values at the center, with our faith, with our love for our children, and making those things the priority. And I'll tell you, in this world we live in this gross culture we live in sometimes, where meanness and cattiness, bullying, body shaming, over-sexualization of literally everything is the norm, we have to strive to do better than that. So yeah, I do think we need to strive to do better, because that's the way we're going to succeed and show up best for our kids, is by constantly striving to show up better with more information, with more self-reflection in the season that we have. Oh, I hope you hear my heart behind that. And that when I say I think we could do better as moms, that's not a put down for how it is we're showing up now. It's a call to strive, which is, I believe, what we were designed to do, and how it is we can best parent our children by showing up, doing the work within ourselves, and then setting the positive example for our kids and being there. For me this week, my personal goal is going to be to look at my children's faces more than I look at my phone. And it's going to be to laugh and smile and have fun with them more than I laugh at memes sent to me on the internet. I'm curious how you feel about these two internet phenomenons this week. I'll have a question and answer box on Spotify up, so you can just go to this episode on Spotify, and at the bottom, let me know your thoughts on this episode and also on the two topics that I talked about that are flooding the internet this week before they just wash away into the sea of other information. But I would like to press pause and hear what it is you have to say before it becomes old news. I thank you so much for listening to this today. And I know that you are doing the best you can where you are right now. And I also know you have the strength within yourself to continue to strive and do even better. Thanks again. I really appreciate you. That's it for this episode of Elevating Motherhood. Thanks again for spending your valuable time with me today. I hope you found some insight and inspiration, or maybe a little of both. If you like today's show, please leave a review on iTunes. I use your feedback to plan future shows and cover topics that serve you. You can also connect with me on Instagram and Facebook. Links to those accounts are in the show notes. For more information, including today's show notes, head to elevatingmotherhood.com. That's elevatingmotherhood.com. Thanks again, Mama. I appreciate you.